And thank you for joining us this morning. I'm Dave Palmer, along with
Suzette Chidas.
All right. So such good timing there. 8:18 on this beautiful 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, September 25th. We are speaking to Sharon Albertson, Dr. Vance Neiman, and also Pastor Joe Goodson from Rosebud, Texas, is on the line with us. You there, Pastor Joe?
Yes.
Yeah, now Sharon says you have a great story. You say that you really work hard to get youth involved in this event, and you have a great story about a young high school student that she said you could share with us.
Well, the first time I was ever involved in the Life Chain in the mid-90s, we took as many youth as were interested and lined Northwest Highway, along with many others. A couple of years ago in Mansfield, there was a middle school-aged boy who came with his parents and stood out there. And shortly after that, he had the opportunity to choose his topic for an English paper, and he chose to write it about the evils of abortion.
Aww.
And what happened was that his teacher read his paper and was stirred because she had had an abortion as a teenager. She also showed his paper to some other teachers, and they wound up calling his mother, saying, we really need to talk to somebody, because they were troubled in their conscience. And that's the purpose of the Life Chain, is that we live in a culture that no longer has its conscience educated by the Word of God, and the role of the church is to speak for those who can't speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And how important is it to get the youth involved?
I think it's really important. I believe that the youth need to take ownership of some of these things that will allow them to begin to think in terms of their responsibility before God and get His perspective on this and all the other issues out there.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us today and taking time. I'm sure you have a busy morning being a pastor. Dr. Vance, let's talk about some of the specifics for the event next week. I know that Sharon was saying that people can buy signs, but you don't want people to bring their own signs, and they have very specific messages that are going to be on these signs. Tell us about some of the details.
Sure. People are going to stand about 20, 30 feet apart. You know, whole professional signs have been designed by the Life Chain Committee itself. Several phrases will be on there. Abortion kills children. Adoption is a loving option. Jesus forgives and heals. Lord, forgive us and our nation. Abortion hurts women. Prayer to an end to abortion. And life, the first inalienable right. There is a $1 donation that's kind of requested to kind of help fund for the production of those signs. But there is no graphic detail, no pictures. Mm-hmm. This is just simple signs with simple words and a lot of prayer involved.
They're nice signs. You brought them into the studio this morning. Now on the back, what can you find on the back of those signs?
There are songs and prayers for people to pray during that hour. Also, there's a code of conduct that is definitely followed. We don't stand in front of any open businesses or park in front of any driveways, anything like that. No one has ever been arrested at a Life Chain, to the knowledge of the national office. So this is definitely peaceful.
And you want to make it a point to emphasize that this is really a prayer event.
Right. This is called a prayer chain.
Tell us, perhaps, Sharon, if you could give us a brief history of how long this has been going on. And you say the numbers are not really counted any longer. And why is that?
Right. In 1987, there were two abortion clinics in the town where Royce Dunn, the national director, lives. And he realized that the only way they could be dispensed with was by prayer. And so the very first Life Chain, 1987, 2,500 people from these small towns in that area got together to pray. And it really changed the idea that the media, the police, the people around there, the abortion doctors and so forth had of the pro-life people. Then the very next year, there were Life Chains in other cities, and it grew until 1992. More than 1 million people were involved in Life Chains in the United States and Canada. Then 1993, Royce decided to stop the emphasis on counting people because it seemed to be more how many people were coming than on prayer. Yeah. And the whole idea was prayer. So now we just know approximately how many Life Chains are being held and so forth. We don't know for sure how many people.
What kinds of comments do you get from people driving by? Have you had any like life-changing experiences that you've heard about because of the Life Chain?
Yes, as far as comments, there are some who make unusual signs and so forth. But for the most part, people are honking and giving thumbs up. people in the life chain are not really to give any kind of reaction, just to be silently standing there, a slight smile perhaps. But there is a great story. A lady in Florida was on her way checking out the directions to an abortion clinic. She was going to go the next day for an abortion and came along where there were people standing with the signs. And the words on the signs just stayed in her mind so much when she got home that night. They kept going over and over in her mind. The next morning, she could not go back for her abortion. So at the Rally for Life that they had at the city square the next January, where the Silent No More ladies were sharing about their abortions, pastors from local churches were praying and so forth, this young lady came up and asked if she could say something. They thought she was post-abortive and would let her have a minute. So she said, well, she'd been on the way and could not go back. And after seeing the signs, and then she turned around and showed them this was the little person that would have been aborted if she had not seen the signs.
Yeah, that saved a life. Now, Dr. Vance, of course, abortion has been legal in this country for 32 years now, and these events are so great. But it's still, I mean, are we seeing progress? Yeah, you know, you talk about some of the lives that are touched. Do you think, how big of an impact does it have on the people that are driving by? You know, Sharon said some people, are offended, some people are with you, but how do you draw these people that are driving by back in, you know, into it for maybe the next year or how, other than prayer, of course, but what can we do?
Well, I think the biggest part is obviously active participation. More people you have involved, more people are likely to realize that this is really a moral issue and our society is just decaying. This is really a relationship issue with your friends and neighbors and other church members to stand firm on a decision that abortion is wrong and we need to make a difference in this country.
Yeah.
I don't think the political process itself is going to be the fix. This is really a spiritual issue.
Yes, definitely.
And so why is it so important that more and more people become involved in trying to save babies from this horror of abortion?
Our goal really is to save the mothers for the Lord, to the Lord. The convert to life idea that you all Catholics, we are so glad for. We can save the life of a baby, but if we can save the life of the mother. In one area, a lady came along to the life chain, was acting very upset with the signs, and one of the ladies in life chain started talking to her and found out that she had had an abortion at her mother's insistence when 14 years ago, and the lady in the life chain asked if she could pray with her. And while they were praying, the lady understood she really could be forgiven. And she said, why didn't somebody tell me I could do this years ago?
Yeah. And that's, of course, we have Rachel's Vineyard that in both Dallas and Fort Worth that is all about post-abortion healing and things
work,
like that.
Yes.
They do great work. Very quickly, got about another minute or so. Somebody's listening right now. They want to get involved. They want to do this. What time? Where do they go? How do they contact you?
They go to the website lifechain.net and go down through the list of cities there. The dates are also, there is an alternate date. If someone is hearing about the Life Chain today and wants to put one together, alternate date is October 30th. Most of them are on October 2nd, but we know that many of our friends in East Texas who have been affected by the storm may choose the alternate date now as they put their lives back together. So that certainly is an option.
And this will all be at the same time? You said,
I believe,
2 to 3.
2 to 3 p.m.
No matter what time zone you're in across the country.
Well, in some areas, it's 2:30 to 3:30. But in Texas, it's easier for us to say 2 to 3.
There you go.
Not adjusted to time zones. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sharon Albertson and Dr. Vance Niemann. Thank you for being with us today. And appreciate taking up part of your Sunday to be with
us.
I mentioned at the top of the hour we're going to have this trivia question, and I never got to the top of the hour, but hopefully everybody's hanging by their radio and hanging on this question. And we have a $25 gift certificate, Suzette, to Keepsakes Gifts in Arlington.
Very nice gift.
With Dolores Sutton over there, who runs and I think owns the place, has been very kind to us. And the question is, that I alluded to earlier, and Anna, you're not allowed to could run out and call, okay, because you know the answer. Two doctors of the church will have memorials in the Catholic Church this week, one on Friday, September 30th, and one on Saturday, October 1st. The question is, who are those two saints that will have memorials for this week? If you know the answer, just dial 214-787-1660, 214-787-1660, and the first correct person is a proud winner, and your life has changed. And we'll be right back after this, talking Familia and lots of kids. Big, big, happy, robust families with Joe and Carol Morris. You're listening to Radio Save Your Life and News Talk 660 KSKY.